You got to quit calling me at 8 o'clock. I'm trying to get out the door, buddy. You can call me during the week. We can talk all the time we want to. But you know what? I love him, and we had a wonderful conversation for almost an hour. And my wife says, you're grumbling now because you're going to try. I said, well, you know what? There's one thing about a wife. She knows all her man's faults. And I said, honey, you got a lot to pray for today. But you know what? God blessed me with a beautiful woman and a good helpmeet. She definitely couldn't have made it without her. Wouldn't have made it this far without her. I can tell you that right now. And I want to say welcome to all of you visitors that are here today. We don't have anything to join, just the body of Jesus Christ right here. This is it. This is a little bride. Nothing. And we love him, and we're glad you're here. If you come again, you're just part of us. We're going to read this morning from Zechariah 4. Go on, read the whole chapter. Let me get into it. So, there we go. It's going to be 1 through 14. And I want to ask y'all this morning. Used to, I'd have people come to my shop a lot of times, and you'd see people that needed prayer, and that's where my ministry was and always was. And I tried to be that way always at my workplace with the people there. I always wanted to be a good example. And before I'd pray, I would always say the Lord's Prayer. And I would like to ask y'all, and you join me in the Lord's Prayer this morning, because I've got a few things at the end I want to pray for. But if y'all all join me in the Lord's Prayer. Ready? Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive those of our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. Come together around your word to hear Brother Wade today. And I ask you just to bless him, Lord. Take away that pain in his knee and his old body that he can just rock back and act like a young man, Lord. You just have your way with him and come in and be that voice we need to hear. And I ask today, Lord, that you bless all that couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever their hindrances are, you know what they are. And bless them and be with them. And most of all, Lord, let me get out of the way about my children, because I know I keep hindering you, because I love them. Forgive me, Lord. Sorry. I wish I'd have been a better parent to them, but, you know, sometimes we fail in this. You know, we're going to fail, and by our failures, you can bring us into existence. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing me here and being part of this word, and being part of the body of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, just to bless our children that's out there. And you have your way with them, Lord. We place them in your hands. What better hands to put them in? And I ask you, Father, to bring them in. And as we go to the reading of your word, Lord, you just come down and bless us. Reveal your word to us and have your way with us. And if I forgot anything, Lord, I'm sorry, but you just have your way with us. We ask these things in your precious name and bless the reading of the word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sorry, y'all. I get a little touched about my kids and all our kids. And not just yours, they're mine. We're a body. Your problems are my problems. Amen. Tony, come over and help me when I needed help. Stood there for 2 days or more. You came by that. That's being blessed.
That's right.
And others. Let's go to the reading of the word. I'm sorry. And the angel that taught with him, with me, came again and walked with me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep.
And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof.
And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left thereof.
So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord?
Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord.
Then he answered and spake
spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, shouting, crying, Grace, grace unto it.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you.
For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro over the whole earth.
Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof?
And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which grew the two golden eyes into the golden oil out of themselves?
And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he said, These are two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. Thank you. You may be.
Amen. At this time we're going to receive tithes and offerings. Brother Carr, would you come help us this morning?
Today, Lord, not to be seen or to be heard, Lord, but one simple request, and that is to give us our daily bread. And you being a faithful Father, Lord, we know you give us what is needed, each and every one of us. We pray for Brother Wade in a special way this morning. We ask that in using that whatever he has studied, Lord, may become a reality to us and find a life. Bring these tithes and offerings before you in thanksgiving. We praise thanking you for jobs that you us, we ask that you bless it and may be very much. Remember those that are online looking in, may they receive their portion. The team that is off to the BYC camps, may they receive theirs also. We commit the remainder of the service into your hands.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus. Number two. Amen. Let's just do a chorus. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. Amen. How many's reaching out to him? Amen. I'm so glad that you reach out to him, he'll reach out to you, and he'll touch you wherever you are.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord.
Steve. something wonderful to look forward to. Amen. We're going to go to a place all the former things are going to be passed away, and everything's going to be brand new. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. I want to sing this little chorus. We're going to try it anyway. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. How many want the Holy Spirit to burn in you this morning? Amen. Let's try this now. Jesus said, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. That Holy Spirit started you on your journey. He leads you all the way, and he's made you more than a conqueror through him. Amen. I want him to continue to burn. I want him to burn up all of Aaron Roberts. So there's nothing left but Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift that we could ever have. Give up ourselves. Brother Branham said it. So we've been invited to be molded into his image. That's what I want to be. Amen. As Brother Wade comes this morning, let's sing. Holy words long preserved. I want to hear the word this morning to change me. How many's ready for the word this morning? Amen. Let's all sing.
Your part today? Amen. I come to get my part today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with you. We got back late last night, but we had a good time yesterday. Charlotte and Joyce came, and Brother Luis and his family were there. In Macon, it's not too far. But you got to go back the same way, so. Oh, well. That's just the way it goes. But we had a good time. Brother Robbie and his brothers, and got to meet his dad and his mom, and Lord willing, they're all coming Saturday to be with us for our special meeting, and we'll get into that here real quick. Just remember Brother Joe, his family, Brother Anderson, they've got 12 of our kids, and Brother Paul, you ain't got no kids at home, and he's smiling. Usually you can tell sometimes when, I'm not getting into that. Either when the wife or the kids, I'm going to do it anyway. Whether the wife and kids are not around, you always get to church early. So, you know whose problem that is. So, anyway, well, praise the Lord. Keep your tomatoes in the seat for later on. We throw them later, okay? Remember, Brother Luis is at Brother Martin's this morning preaching for them. And just bless them. Many are on vacation. Half the church is gone. I know that's pretty full right now, but half of them somewhere else. So this is vacation week. So they're all on vacation, but just remember them as they travel back. A lot of them will be back Friday, and then we'll have Saturday. I want to announce one more time, July the 4th, this coming Saturday, will be our 55th anniversary of the church being established here. We started on July the 4th, 1971. And it was just this little building right here. None of that. And we had a wonderful time. We've we've come through, and I like to brag on the Lord, brother. They can't hear on the, they can't hear the interpretation. But we've come through 55 years, and God's been good to us. Amen. He's given us a nice place to be. He's given us, I can say this without a shadow of a doubt, I know for a fact we've had two of the best pastors in the message, and which were Brother Moat for the first 4 or 5 years, and then my dad from 75 until a couple of years ago. And then now you got to listen to me. So I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm getting there. But we love you with the love of the Lord. Many churches can't say that. We never had a split. I've only had two pastors in 55 years. Well, three now. But God's been good to us. My dad always said, he said, if you'll preach the word of God and you'll preach the word of God true, the devil can't stand that. And he will leave. Right? Right? He will leave. He hates the word. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning on the fourth seal. But good to have the visitors with us, our sister and our brother and his family back there in the back. But this coming July, this coming Saturday, July the 4th at 3 o'clock, we'll start service at 3. Brother Nathaniel Green from North Carolina will be speaking for us. Then afterwards, we'll have a catered meal. It will be hot dogs and hamburgers, because that's what you have on July the 4th. Amen. Round steak, that's what I call it. But we'll have, you didn't know a caterer would do hamburgers and hot dogs. You pay them enough, they will. Amen. But we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs. They'll set the little thing up outside, and for those of you who've been here, you'll know what's going on. But we always try to do that, and then we'll have watermelon. And I want you to bring some of your favorite desserts. Everybody that's coming, bring you a dessert, and we'll have that. But we will have watermelon and hamburgers and hot dogs. And it'll be catered from the same people that caters all of our stuff now. So we sure appreciate Mike and Gay doing a very wonderful job. Not good nominal Christian people. They're good nominal Christian people. They're just... Amen. They try to live the best they can. But bring your favorite dish. And then Sunday, Brother Mike Olteig will be with us. Regular church service start at 10 o'clock. And he'll be with us on that Sunday. He'll be here Saturday, but he'll be here on that Sunday. So let's remember all that. Also remember, I'll have my knee replacement July the 8th. That'll be from this coming Wednesday, which I'll be speaking this coming Wednesday, and then the weekend, and then that's next Wednesday. Brother Manuel will be speaking for us, and then we'll go from there. But just keep all these in your prayer. We sure had a good time yesterday with them down there in Macon. And the Ohio group's watching in today. Their pastors left them. It was on WhatsApp. He was leaving. Now he's going to New York to visit Brother Yvonne Carey on and their anniversary meeting. So... they really appreciate Brother Yvonne and grew up with him. And then also, they've got a group of kids that have went to BYC. So just keep those kids in prayer. One testimony, and I don't know, it was on my private WhatsApp, but they stopped in Jeffersonville, all right? And they saw the gravesite. And then Brother Joe said, well, we're going to take them to the tabernacle. Can't get in the tabernacle. It's locked. So they're just trying to tell the people, you know, what's going on. Well, these two men walk out the side of the building. And when they walk outside the building, they said, oh, hey, how you doing? God bless you. And, you know, pleasantries and greetings. And said, well, where are you from? And Brother Joe said, we're from Georgia. He said, oh, you're the group that from Georgia that we have a 1 o'clock tour with. Joe said, no, we are from Georgia. We wouldn't mind touring the tabernacle, but we're not that group. Doesn't God work in mysterious ways? Amen. So they went in, and luckily the Georgia group was Brother Willie Ross's family from down in Macon. So that was another reunion, but that was two people from Georgia there, two groups from Georgia there, and they both got to tour the tabernacle. So our kids had a wonderful time there at the office and get to stand in there, and the brother showed them where the angel drew the church ages on the wall. there at the tabernacle. So they'll come back full of joy. Amen. That they were able to see what a lot of people can't see now. They were able to see. So we love them and we appreciate them. We want them to get back here as quick as they can, but having a good time up there. So all minds clear. So remember this coming Saturday, July the 4th, 3 o'clock. It'll be our 55th anniversary meeting. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we're truly grateful that you have everything in your hands. And you know how to manipulate, like yesterday, where two people, two groups from Georgia that did not know the other one was up there, decided to go to the tabernacle at the same time. And then all of our group got to see where your prophet stood. And Lord, that's, we know it's not a, we don't want to make him no more than what he was. He was a human being, but he was our prophet. He was the voice of God for the end time. And he said, though, that we were little messiahs and we were eaglets and we were the ones to take this message on. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us today. Bless us. Give us strength. Anoint us, Lord, to speak to your people. Anoint your people to hear you. Forgive us of our sins. Bless the ones that are sick, Father. Ones that are not here with us today. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Be with the ones that are traveling on vacation. Be with the children there, Lord, the kids, young adults at BYC camp, Lord. May you put your hand on each one of them, Father. May they receive something from you, Lord, and come back with a wonderful report. We love you for all these things. Thank you for our congregation here today and for our wonderful place that we have to worship, Father. I pray that you be with us now. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're gonna background a little bit on the seals, but we're on the fourth seal. So let's read Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Pretty gloom situation there. But that's for when the seal breaks. Here, Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's laying it out what grieves him. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as for God's sake, God for Christ's sake forgave you. You may be seated. Lord, that is blessing as the reading the word. Now, as we continue through these seven seals, we know that we're a special group of people, and that's what we were talking about yesterday, a prepared group of people, that God prepared us. He pressurized us right. He gave us the message of the hour, and he gave it to us in stages. Right. There was a prophet here. The prophet preached. He went off the scene, and now it is our job to take the word of God, not a different one, the same word of God, and take it to the people. Everybody with me? Amen. All right? You can nod a little louder if you want to.
Amen.
Amen. So, but remember, we are affected by the opening of these seals. We are Christ made manifest in another form called the bride. Amen?
Amen.
All right? And then if the seals is Christ, then the seals has something to do with us.
Amen.
All right? It's not just that the white horse rider is the Antichrist and the red horse rider is the Antichrist. No, it tells you where it's at. Now, remember, we were talking several months ago. Where was this mystery of iniquity? You say, well, no, that's the denominations. No, no. We're the mystery of iniquity. Iniquity is knowing to do something, so you got to know what's right and wrong.
Amen.
The world doesn't know what's right and wrong. Oh, they have their standard of living, but my Lord, it ain't what a Christian should be living.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
Christianity's not some broad canvas with a one-colored, big, wide broom. No, it's holiness. It's living what the Bible says. It's living the standard of holiness that is different from the world. The Bible says if we love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So we live in the world, but we're not of the world.
Right.
All right? We are different.
Yes.
And we are different because what's inside of us is different. Paul said, the life I now live, which means he lived a life before that was not very good. You say, oh, Paul, now Paul was a prophet. Yeah, Paul caused Christians to blaspheme. Paul put Christians in jail. But God saw something that man didn't see. God saw something in David that man didn't see. I would not make David... I would not make him a Sunday school teacher. Hello, somebody. You wouldn't either. But yeah, he was the apple of God's eye. He knew David's heart. But remember, he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. Hello. But God knew his heart. So today, by the heart, we know. And people say that. They say, well, God knows my heart. You know, they got all the other things going on. I said, well, if God knows your heart, then you got a problem. Because I see on the outside, you ain't what you are supposed to be on the inside. Because you will absolutely, in this day and time, since the seals are open, you will produce what's inside of you. You cannot hold it back. It will have to come out. We'll know whether we're born again or not. You'll know whether you got the Holy Ghost. You'll know whether you're growing in God. You will. Satan's hid for years and years and thousands of years, but he has been exposed. Right. He's been stripped.
Amen. Right. Mm-hmm.
We know where he's at. Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, he's over there in that denominational church. No, he's sitting beside you, but don't turn around and look at your wife or husband because you might get slapped. Well, praise the Lord anyway.
That's right.
The devil got here before you did.
Because
he wants to be in this message. He does not want to be out there. He wants to be in here because this is what? This is the apex of Christianity. This is the apex of godliness. So if he wants to be like God, then guess where he's going to be?
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to be right here.
Right.
As I was telling the church yesterday, being born again does not alleviate your problems.
That's right.
Being born again does not take away your light bill, your gas bill, your car breaking down. I must not have the Holy Ghost. I got a flat tire coming to church. No, that's just the devil doing some work to see how you'll react to it. Everybody with me? Even Brother Branham said that he'll let one brother say something to you to see how you react. Wow. He said God will allow that. We blame the devil for a lot. There's a lot God gives us on us that he to perfect us that we think maybe and is the devil's part. We know God doesn't do anything wrong, but it's for our perfection. Everything we go through should be for our perfection.
Amen.
So by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and having God in your soul, you will know how to work through those problems. You'll know how to work through those aggravating times. If all of us are married, we've had aggravating times. And if you got kids, you have them all aggravated sitting right beside of you today. And as Brother Donnie said, out there in the world. Amen? So praise the Lord anyway. But we make sure that we have the new birth. And when we have the new birth, then that gives us a spiritual rudder. It gives us a way to deal with our problems, to deal with our situations. And then God sent us a prophet in the end time to help us navigate through that. He gave us Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. All right? And he shall turn the heart. So he's turning something around and sending it in another direction. All right? So what's happening? He's turning us away from the old ways and putting us in the new ways of God. Brother Brown did not come to bring us holiness. Holiness was already in the Bible. It had just been buried by these horse riders that we've been talking about. That Satan has come on the scene because, listen... Watch right here. Satan loves false doctrine. Satan's not, like I said, Satan's not in the bar rooms today. He's not out there causing people to curse and commit adultery. No, he's in church trying to get people to see something wrong.
That's right.
And make them think that it's right.
That's right.
What did he do to Eve, folks? That was the first one.
Right.
Brother Brown said they were having church. Satan slips in and tells Eve a better way to do it, and she accepts it, and then here we are today.
That's right.
So Satan loves false doctrine. We hate it because what does false doctrine do? It will destroy your spiritual life.
Right.
It will destroy the power of the Word. It won't destroy the Word.
Right.
It destroys the effect of the Word that it has on you.
Yeah.
False doctrine, what? It destroys a closeness with God. What happened when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden? God came down in the cool of the day and talked to them every day. Didn't have a problem being with them. But when sin entered the picture, when the fall came, God said, I'm going to put a division between me and you. All right? He put that there because you couldn't see sin anymore. So we lost that closeness to God. But listen, if we're going to be restored back to that, to that Garden of Eden condition, we've got to have something to get us there with. All right? False doctrine will not get us back to perfection. Also, false doctrine will destroy your discernment because that's what it does. You discern a doctrine and you say, oh, that must be the truth. You got to discern to see if it is. You discern. Because remember, the word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's not a man. It's the word of God that you read. But if you read through different colored glasses, I proved it last week. We were speaking on this, and just for a little background for the new ones, even Jesus Christ himself couldn't do what he wanted to do because of false doctrine or because of unbelief. Matthew 13 says, he, Jesus Christ, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Mark 6, he could there do no mighty works save he laid hands on a few and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And then remember what happened with Jairus' daughter. They laughed him to scorn. He had to get him out of the room so he could raise her from the dead. So God hates false doctrine. Brother Branham, and we read that in the church ages where, and he was very emphatic. He said, hey, he said, he hates that Nicolaitan spirit. He hates that Jezebel religion. God hates.
Yep.
Right. God hates unbelief. Okay, he doesn't hate you, he hates unbelief, but if you connect yourself to unbelief, then you become an unbeliever.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
So we are affected by everything that's going on in the end time. When the seals broke, they now affect us in a way. I was telling them yesterday, God has prepared a group of people for something that has never happened before. There is a group of people going to take a body change. There's a group of people that's going to come to a position that the dead saints are going to come out of the ground.
That's right.
Amen.
Thessalonians.
Right. And I had one sister. She said, I've been in a message 60 years. And she said, I didn't realize that. Because I told them, I said, look, we got to have a resurrection first.
Right.
You forget a rapture.
Yep.
A rapture is it's like the post-game show. It's something you get once the war's over with. Or once the battle's over with, or once the game's over with, right?
Amen.
You got to go through the battle. We got to have Brother Paul tells us in Thessalonians, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise
first,
and we which are alive and remain will be changed.
Right.
So this message, and that's where people are missing it, this message, we talk about Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. The Son of Man message is a resurrection message.
Right.
It is a message that he resurrected on one scripture.
Right.
He'll not leave my soul in hell or suffer my Holy One to see corruption. One scripture.
Right.
He raised on.
That's right.
And then when he stepped out of the tomb, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That was the Son of Man. That was God in a human flesh.
Right.
Now that was glorified, that had been changed, so that you and I can be changed.
Amen.
So that we can have that Son of Man ministry back here today in power.
Amen.
And what is the Son of Man ministry? It's a perfect message.
Right.
You tell me where Jesus was wrong anywhere.
Right.
He said, I only do that what the Father says.
Right.
Believe me, I am the bread of life. Right. I'm the living water. He never denied that. And you never found out he wasn't. And that was the Son of Man.
Right.
So the Son of Man message has got to be back here in the end time. That's why the seals had to open. That's why that they had to come to the forefront to produce Satan and show where he was, what was going on with him, how slick he was, how that he was affecting the people, how that many scholars was telling us that the white horse rider there in Revelation 6:1 was the Holy Ghost and God on that charger. That's not true. That was the devil.
Right.
Amen. Now Satan wanted you to believe that. That's why the seals were closed. Until the end time. Because in the end time, you and I, it wasn't required the first church age to the sixth church age. If you don't mind pulling that chart up, please. Then that's not required as a body change. They were required to go by their messenger, do what the messenger says, and then pass away, go into the sixth dimension, and wait for a group of people that's going to take this message and it become them.
Amen.
That's what I was telling them last night. Raise another eyebrow. There is nowhere in the Bible or the prophet's message that we are a type.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly right. Sure.
Amen.
Show it to me. The whole Bible types the bride.
Right.
The whole Bible types Christ.
Amen.
The whole Bible types the believers in the end time. Because
right.
Everyone in the church ages were looking.
Right.
Even Isaiah and different ones, they were looking for something. Paul says, I look through a glass darkly. I can't see everything that's going on. Why? The seals weren't open yet.
Right. Exactly.
They were closed. But Paul would bring a message that was so pure
yes.
that we can use it while preaching the message of the seals.
Right. Right.
But Paul couldn't see it. Why? It wasn't for him.
That's right.
And I told him last night, you know, Brother Bram comes up on the questions and answers on the seals. He said, this is not for you. It's gone from you. It's past you. You can't get this. Why? It was for us.
Amen.
It was for a certain prepared group of people,
right.
Which is you and I.
Amen.
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 We are the we in the alive and remain.
Right.
Amen.
Now, if we pass on and go by the grave, we are not the we anymore. But Paul said, we which are alive and remain. So we got to make sure that we're part of that we.
Right.
And that's by living the Word of God and breathing the Word of God and acting the Word of God.
Right.
But we went through the seals, and I told you many times before, these seals are not for information.
Right. That's right.
It's for revelation
yes.
to get us out of here. Well, we know more than they know because we got the seals open. No, that's the devil.
That's right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right? Everybody with me on that?
Amen.
Okay, it's not for information. It is good to have this information.
Yes.
But the revelation is what we need.
Amen.
Brother Levi, can you get that chart pulled up over there, please? We got a lot of people out today. And several of them are not back there in the room, so they're doing the best they can, but it will help to show a visual of what's going on. All right, so hello, there it is. So for all of us that are here today, we know that according to Revelations 1, there were seven church ages. Is everybody with me? Right? All right, there were seven church ages. In those seven church ages were seven angels or seven messengers that brought a distinct message for each age. All right. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then on into Malachi 4. Everybody with me?
Amen.
And then the Bible tells us there are four combat beasts, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Right?
Amen.
It's all through the Bible. It's in Ezekiel and it's in Revelations. It's the four combat beasts.
Amen.
All right. They are there for what? They're combating false doctrine. It's the Holy Ghost in your soul today that's combating false doctrine. But now the horse riders, we found out, they're not very nice. They're not nice at all, actually. Because the white horse rider was what? The devil. The red horse rider was what? The devil. The black horse rider was what? The devil. So guess what? By the power of deduction, the pale horse rider was what? The devil. Okay. Everybody get that? So that's kind of the chart. But then we look and see that when the first seal opened, it showed a lion anointing, not lying, lion, L-I-O-N, lion anointing, which was the first seal. The second seal, when it opened, showed a red horse. And red is what? Red is blood. Red is the time that they killed 68 million Christians. The Catholic Church proved that they did, so there's books on that, so it's just not hearsay. All right, so that's your fourth church age. Now, seal number three, and we've got lap overs because God laps things over. You know what a lap over is for? It's grace to me and you.
Amen.
It's God's grace that he won't just abruptly stop something and then start something else and say, well, you've lost it. You're out of here. But now remember, though, when we get to number seven, when that seventh church age is ended for the Gentile bride, it is cut off like Noah.
Right.
The door will be shut.
Amen.
And there won't be another person saved. There ain't no left behind going on. You're just going to be left behind.
That's right.
Isn't that right? You're just going to be left behind. You can't get saved after the rapture takes place. I'm sorry. Unless you're a Jew, and you're not a Jew today. Naturally. So you've got the lion anointing. The ox anointing was the burden bearer of that fourth church age. Fifth and sixth church age is the age of man. Everybody with me? Seal number three, which was the black horse, which that was the great industrial age. They produced all kind of manufacturing. You right at the end of the sixth age, they were producing automobiles. So it was an advancement of man, but it was a man anointing also for the church, because Luther comes out of the Catholic Church and preaches a just shall live by faith.
Right.
People claim that message and walk out of the Catholic Church. Then he passes on, and they denominate. Denomination dies. Sixth church age comes up, which is who? Wesley, John Wesley, sanctification. He was a man, but he got a revelation that you had to be sanctified. You couldn't just be justified. You had to be sanctified.
Amen.
All right? You with me?
Right.
Then we come to the eagle anointing, or the eagle age, which is the seal number four. And in this fourth seal that we're going to begin on today, if we get there, is in that seal, I want you to realize something. The rapture takes place on the fourth seal.
Right.
Right, Brother Carlos?
Yes,
amen. All right. On the fourth seal. Why? Because there's no more combat beast.
Right.
Okay? You get to seal number four, you see all this, a messenger says, come and see. One of the combat beasts says, come and see number two, come and see number three, come and see number four. When you get to the fifth seal, it's a scene in heaven.
Amen.
All right? So, but therefore, we know that we're not here, because the lion, ox, man, and eagle is the Holy Ghost on a Gentile bride,
right,
leading her and guiding her into all truth.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right? Leading and guiding her into all truth. That's what those combat beasts are for. Well, when they leave, we leave with them. Because
right.
They're not needed down here anymore.
Right.
We're not needed down here anymore.
Right.
So during this fourth seal, we're going to see a body change. You're going to see the resurrection. You're going to see a body change and a resurrection and a rapture.
Right.
All right, is everybody with me? So that fourth seal is going to encompass a lot of stuff that is going to be so secret that most people are not going to see it. But we've been birthright. We can see it.
Amen.
See means to understand. You can see that chart, but do you understand it? Come on. I believe most of us do. I believe if you've been in the message long enough, you ought to know that's no mystery. That's been preached since Brother Branham opened the seals. That's kind of what it is right there.
Amen.
So the rapture takes place at the fourth seal, which is the seventh church age. Now you say, what about 5, 6, and 7? Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of me. Because we're going to see something that's been hidden for thousands of years, but has been revealed once God sent us a prophet to show us that the fifth seal, the sixth seal, and the seventh seal happens after we leave. Okay? Kind of intermingled a little bit there, but we'll prove that when we get to the seal number five. But you take 5, 6, and 7, and you have to take it and put it back in under 6 and 7.
Right.
Under 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
Church age. So you got just something to think about. You got seal 5, 6, and 7. What's seal 5? Sold under the altar crying how long? Jews.
Right.
Jews, right?
Amen.
Not Gentiles.
No.
Gentiles are gone. Jews.
Amen.
God goes to the Jews.
Right.
All right. Seal number 6 is what? Tribulation period.
Right.
Destruction of nature.
Amen.
man killing theirself, nuclear war. Number seven is Christ himself. The Bible says Christ comes down and fights for the Jews. So Christ is going to come down and fight for us first, though. Because you know what? We don't need him to come down. Thank you. We don't need him to come down to fight for us. He's in here fighting for us. He's in here fighting for us. It's not another person. We are the person of God made manifest in another form called the bride. I just believe that so much. I don't believe there's something coming. I believe it's already here. Amen. And it's so secret. It's piled up inside of you. And as I said a couple of years ago, for those of you that were out here a couple of years ago, whatever you got inside of you, let it out.
Amen.
If it's bad stuff, let it out. If it's good stuff, let it out. But get it out, because it's going to be exposed one way or the other. Heading toward the end time, you will not be able to hide from God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that the sinner will not be able to sit in the congregation of the righteous. Righteous.
Amen.
Well, see, now all of you are going, well, I saw this one do this one, and I saw that one do this, and I saw this do this. God didn't see it if you're under the blood.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I was telling him yesterday, just think about this. Does God know? Does God know everything? You say, well, he's God. He knows everything. No, he doesn't. But he decided not to know everything. Because he made a place called the Sea of God's Forgetfulness. Remember, he's the creator. The devil didn't create that sea. If he did, he'd be in there fishing. And he'd drain the pond to get the fish out to throw them back in your life. Everybody with me? God created a place of his own that he can't even get into.
Right.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
He did that before the foundation of the world. He knew we'd need it.
Right.
And he made a place he can't even go into. What sins are you talking about?
That's right.
We are the sinless bride of Jesus Christ. We get to start living like it.
Amen.
And we can live like it if we'll take the word of God and apply it to our life, not our own ideas, not our own thoughts.
Right. Amen.
Everybody with me? So now, as I read the first part, that the only seal there really is the new birth. So you need the new birth first. Without the new birth, you can't understand God. The Bible says you cannot know who Jesus Christ is without the new birth. All right? And what is the new birth? It is you coming to a place that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You don't want to live that life anymore. Right? Justification turns you and sends you in a new direction.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
Now, but remember, though, thank God for a prophet. He said, now in justification, he said that same thing that made you do it is still there. What you're doing is you're overriding it to a certain degree, and you're starting to go to church.
Right.
You're starting to read your Bible. I know this because I went through it. Okay, you got to go through these experiences.
Right.
Ours is not all cookie cutter experiences. They're all different.
Right.
But I knew I couldn't keep going that way.
Right.
I was sick and tired of being that.
Yes.
So you turn right here, 180, and go that way.
Yep.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38, which is the only correct baptism there is, because it's a name.
That's right.
Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name.
That's right.
But Jesus Christ is a name.
Amen.
And that's the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Name Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So therefore, Acts 2:38 is the correct baptism.
Right.
Matthew 28:19 is the correct baptism.
Right.
By revelation,
right.
You see the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody with me?
Yep.
All right? But we see these great revelations by what? By the opening of the Word.
Right.
And then we see sanctification. Now, justification, the prophet of God tells us, he said, that just chops off your past sins. In other words, all that's going in the sea.
Yep. Right.
All that's going in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Now, you remember it, your neighbor remember it, but God don't remember it.
Yep.
You know the old song, What Sins Are You Talking About?
Yep.
We need to start believing that.
Right.
Okay? And then we keep walking, and what happens is according to the book of Luke, those unclean spirits, they hate that you're becoming a new Christian. They hate that your desires have changed. They hate that you're going to church and trying to live right and doing what the Bible says and praising the Lord and crying and weeping and thanking God for what he done for you.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Satan hates that because you know what? He's losing his filthy grip on you.
Right.
But you have to go through sanctification because that cleans you up and puts you in a place to be in service for God.
Amen.
Okay? Because remember, God can't dwell in an unclean vessel, so the vessel's got to be cleaned up.
Amen.
Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, that means he lived a life before that.
Right.
He turned from that, the life I now live, in the flesh.
Yeah.
If you've been to this church long enough, you'll understand one thing. Your flesh does not sin. It can't sin.
Right.
It only reacts to the man inside.
Right.
I can only do this because I told my hand and my brain real quick to do that.
That's right.
Right?
Right?
So let's don't blame the flesh. You're in your flesh.
Right.
But it's the spirit that you carry in your spirit realm that affects all this.
Right.
Your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination.
Right.
All right? Because I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There'll be no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with those temptations make a way to escape.
Right.
That's kind of weird. We think that, you know, well, why do I need to go through that?
Yeah. Right.
That's why. Through the temptations, I'll make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear, in other words, your next problem or your next situation. You'll be able to handle it. So the unclean spirits have gone out of man, the Bible says in the book of Luke. And then what happens at the baptism of the Holy Ghost? God fills you with him.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
There's not room for two in your soul.
Right.
Amen? It's only God or the devil, one of the two.
Right.
All right? Everybody with me?
Amen.
And we don't believe in soul exchanging. We don't believe in your soul going somewhere else. That soul is the real you. What God does is he takes your soul and burns that nature off of it.
Right.
He burns that Adamic nature off of your soul, gets rid of that part, and puts his part in.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, you and God in there as persons. All right?
Right.
That's why I said, we've got to understand that we are not a second person to Jesus Christ. If he's inside us, we're him.
Yeah. Right.
In another form called the bride.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
We weren't the creator. We didn't create the world, but you know what? You can create an atmosphere.
Right.
So you are a little creator then. Brother Brown tells us we're little creators.
That's right.
He also tells us, we won't get to it today, I'm sure. I'm not looking at it now, but he called us little eaglets. This is the eagle age. This is the eagle anointing. We say, oh, that's William Branham. That's the prophet of the day. He called us prophetic people.
Right.
He called us little messiahs. He called us eaglets,
yeah.
Which means we're in the same family as the eagle.
Amen.
Because eaglets grow up to be big eagles. And if we're messiahs, then we have the Messiah inside of us. And you know what? We're little messiahs. We're little Jesus Christ.
Right.
Made in another form. I keep saying that because not one person in here was born without sex.
Right.
So we're all born the same way, except for him.
Right.
But by the new birth, he's erased that.
Amen.
He's taken that part of your book out. Wiped it clean. Brother Branham says, I am not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Now, he wasn't denying it.
Right.
He was telling you he had reached a position that he had not reached before, that he was a son of God.
Amen.
He was not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Why? He had been changed.
Amen.
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 You love the Lord?
Amen.
So now look. We talk about being tempted. We know all these, that he was tempted. He was tempted as much as we were. So let's get real quick. What does true doctrine do? We got to have true doctrine to have these four things. Number one, it defeats the enemy.
Amen.
Number two, the word has power back again. That's what Brother Brown, he's brought the power back in the church. It didn't come from just an anointing that it was William Branham and he was bringing back this and that and the other. No, God brought the power back when the word was corrected.
Amen.
I'm talking about the word out there. You can't correct this word. But what did Brother Branham do? He took all the loose ends, all the things that people had said down through the ages, and he brought them right back and said, hey, let's center this right here.
Right.
And I'm talking about this.
Amen.
Let's center it right here.
Right.
And now let's start and let's see how the word is being put back in power. Today, you and I, the word has been put back in power because of God sending us an eagle.
Yes.
That could see higher. But remember, we're eaglets, so he passes that food down to us, and we eat the word of God. And we become that true doctrine. We listen. We will have authority. That's why the prophet of God tells us, we were talking about adoption. Adoption. Adoption is what? Doing the Father's will. That's what adoption is. And he's well pleased, and he said, hey, I'm going to give them power to speak in my stead.
Amen.
Because it's not them speaking anyway. It's Christ speaking in us. William Branham didn't heal a person. But when he stepped out of the way and God stepped in, there's your healer. That's why he said, I'm waiting on him. What? He's waiting on the healer. And it also, as false doctrine, tears your relationship from God. God loves the truth because he is the truth.
Right.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we come under true doctrine, it deepens our relationship with God because there's nothing. Listen, there was a time when Adam and Eve walked up to God, just like I'm going to walk up to Brother Ryan, and say, God bless you. Boy, it's good to have you this morning. You look just like your daddy. And yeah, fellowship.
Right.
Now, when the fall happened, that didn't happen no more.
Right.
God said, I got to have a filter now because
right.
I can't stand sin.
Right.
And I got to have a blood filter
right.
because in blood the fall happened and in blood the fall will be taken back.
Right.
Everybody with me, say amen.
Amen.
Right. Man, you ought to believe that. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me.
Amen.
So now, background, and keep background just a little bit. We'll get here in a minute. White Righteous Church. We have a white horse in the first seal, which was a bluff. He had a bow but no arrows. And he started little sayings. Listen, the devil is very slick.
Right.
Remember, Brother Brown said, we're no match for the devil.
That's right.
But the one inside of us is.
Right.
Okay? Then the red horse come along, and when that was revealed, when that seal was open, there was a red horse rider that went out. And what did he kill by? Sure, he started killing by false doctrine.
Right.
Then he started literally killing the people.
Right.
All right, 68 million Christians were killed by the Catholic Church because they would not become Catholic.
Right.
One thing.
Right.
Listen, that spirit's still here. Spirits don't die. They will a long time from now, but they don't die right now. They just move her into another entity. Black horse comes riding out, the power in the people, under the man anointing. But what happened? It was absent of the truth. All right? He had balances in his hand, which was economic control, which he began in the fifth and sixth church age. He began to take control of the financial situation, of the economic situation. I'm talking about Satan. Because Satan's got that part now.
Right.
Political, economical, he owns all that.
Right.
All right? And he manipulates what? He manipulates the word of God.
Yes.
Now, God hates to be manipulated.
Right.
That's why he said, I hate that Nicolaitan spirit. I hate that thing. Why? Because he sees what happens to the people that accept it. All right? But remember, when we come to the third seal, there was another voice spoke out and said, hurt not my oil and my wine. Now, that wasn't one of the combat bees. That was Christ himself. That was the Lamb that come to say, hey, you're not going to, you think you're going to take this thing down, but I'm going to have a group of people that I'm going to protect. You remember poor Elijah? Elijah was up there on the mountain, and he was crying. He said, God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. God comes down and says, quit your crying. I got 7,000 just like you that hadn't bowed the knee. You just didn't know that yet. That's the same way with us. When we get all that wowsy, wowsy, woo business, somebody else is going through it too. But remember, we go through it. Everybody with me?
Amen.
I go through something. Through means like you go through that door, you're going through the door. Continuing on with your journey, you're going to just open the door and go right on in. Everybody with me? All right? So I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. What was it? It was the Lamb. So God comes to the third seal, and he steps up and says, look, I'm going to bring the Holy Ghost like it's never been brought before. I'm going to have a group of people that's going to take a body change that's going to believe my seventh age messenger in age number seven. Under the third seal, he started making everything right. He started turning everything to say, hey, I'm with you. Don't hurt my oil and wine. Satan, you can do everything you want to Job. You can do everything you want to his body. But don't touch his life. And that's what God was doing, because he was going to have Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Listen, he was building his church back again.
Right.
He was building it. Satan didn't want to build back, but God said, I'm going to do it, because he said, I will restore.
Right.
So he's going to restore us back to the faith of the fathers, and then he's going to take us back to the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
All God was, he poured into Christ.
Right.
Christ poured into the bride. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. There's got to be something today that takes us back across that chasm.
Amen.
It's this message.
Amen.
It's the message God give us.
Amen.
It's not 1,100 sermons either.
Right.
Now you can find your tomatoes. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We need to find the essence of this message. The essence of this message is not books and tapes.
Right.
We have to have them.
Yes.
You can't get it from somewhere else.
Right.
Remember, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. One more time, Christ in you.
Amen.
Now listen, that doctrine's 2,000 years old. Paul said it in about AD 60. What are we doing with it today? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not going to use a building. He's not going to use a car. He's not going to use a bomb. He's not going to use a politician. Thank God. He's not going to use anything but you. He's going to use his bride to destroy the devil in the end time. You just got to decide whether you want to plug yourself into that or not. You can have all these other things, and that's great. It's good to have a good life, and it's good to have a good job, and it's good to have a good wife and husband and kids and all that. But that's all second.
That's right.
It's you and Christ.
Amen.
First.
Right.
Amen.
Then everything else will fall. What? Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And then all these other things will fall in place.
Amen.
Okay? So now we've come up here to the fourth seal. So let's start on it real quick, and then we'll skip some of this. I guess we can skip a lot of this. Let's just keep skipping a little bit more. Okay. And a lot more than that. Well, let's start right here. Because if we're going to have a rapture, when seal number four, see, when that seal opens, what does it do? It names death.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
It was death before, but now it's got a name. It's named death. And hell follows that. Now listen, if you're not born again, that seal has trapped you. But if that seal opens and you have the new birth, that seal has released you from death and hell. Okay? So now we must have a resurrection. This message delivers or raptures you from destruction. That's the fourth seal. All right? Because it's a death, it's a hell, and all these other different things. Let's keep reading. All right, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. All right? So now, let's see what Brother Brown says. Now, I want you to see something here. And I know some of you that have not been here, that every seal, when we read the seal, we go back and see what Brother Brown's first comment about that seal is. What was the first comment about the first seal? I would have made a horrible mistake if I would have went by my old notes. If he hadn't come into the room. You see what's happening? When the seal's open, no one can preach false doctrine. When it opens like it did to the prophet, he sees where Satan is, and he sees that here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a wild horse rider away from you.
Right.
So Brother Branham says, look, I would have made a horrible mistake. Seal number two, he said, I was thinking something different. Seal number three, altogether different than what I was thinking. Now watch seal number four. So happy to be back in the house of the Lord tonight in service. This is the fourth seal. I'm so happy. Just thought this one wouldn't come. But it finally did. In other words, he sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there reading his old notes. And he knew his old notes were not right because his old notes were not right for the first one, the second one, and the third one. What are you saying? I'm not trying to prove Brother Branham was wrong. I'm trying to prove that God was making the Son of Man ministry be available for me and you in its perfect form.
Amen.
You hear me? In its perfect form. Because the white horse rider was not Christ. It was the Antichrist. The red horse rider was not Christ. It was the Antichrist. The third seal, the third horse rider, was not Christ. It's the Antichrist and what he's doing. So the four seals the same way, but he said, look, I just thought this one wouldn't come, but it finally did. And I'm so thankful that being in the last of these four horse riders, which I think is one of the main messages to the church at this time, I don't know what the other one is. Now, seal number five, when he reads that, he says, I thought those were saints.
That's right.
Preach, somebody.
Amen.
I thought those were saints.
Right.
Us. He said, no, we're already gone. And we don't cry for people's blood.
Right.
We cry grace,
amen,
mercy. He said, so therefore, what was that? He said, that was the Jews that were killed under Eichmann and Hitler.
Right.
Sold under the altar, crying, how long to avenge our blood?
Right.
We don't cry that. But the prophet of God for many years thought that was the saints under the altar, crying how long?
Right.
Everybody with me? Same way with six seal. All of them were totally different. Why? God was taking and he was turning a heart of a prophet.
Amen.
You got to take his and turn his first.
Amen.
He's first partakers of the fruit, right?
That's right.
He's got to turn his first before he can preach and turn ours.
Right.
Oh, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God he sent us somebody that knew the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That he stood back and said, I'd have made a horrible mistake. I would have preached this thing so wrong.
Right.
Off of my old notes. Number two, I'd have preached it so wrong after my old notes. But he gets into one of the third or fourth seal, and I've got the quote not here with me, but he says, it's thus saith the Lord. I know this is true. I know this is what God's doing. He said, I was hoping you could see what was going on. Preached the greatest message he ever preached in his life, And he said, all I want is questions and answers on the seals. He got two questions on the seals and 26 questions of, can a woman wear pajamas to bed? Or how about pantyhose? Or how about this Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine? You know, Brother Branham, he absolutely, he answered everyone. But he did tell them, he said, I can see that this great revelation is not for you. This great revelation is not for you. You're not even supposed to get it, and Brother Branham even says it's already gone from you.
Yes.
Read your questions and answers on the seals. I read it to him last night down in Macon. You know why? Because the people to take it and believe it wasn't there.
Right.
You're here today. This is the prepared group of people that the seals were preached for. This is it. That wasn't it. That doesn't de-Christianize them. That doesn't make them anything. But what their position is, was to come to a place, Brother Bram said, just live a good Christian life.
Right.
And most of those people, probably 99% of them that were sitting there that day, have passed on.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
So it wasn't for them. But it's for us. God is preparing a group of people, even though I may be the boringest preacher in the world. I'm trying to get you to see who you are. What you're doing here, right? What you're doing here. You're here for a purpose. You're here to hear the truth, walk into truth, and know what the truth is. You know the old saying, people wouldn't know the truth if it hit them in the face? Well, we've been hit in the face, so we know what truth is. Right, Arline? We know what truth is. We've been taught it for years and years and years and years. See, now watch. Now, Brother Branham was telling us, watch this one quote. He says, he knows this is true because it blended together all one big act of God showing himself in different ways. Amen? What was the fourth beast? Was an eagle. John said to John, come and see what the fourth mystery of the plan of redemption has been hid in this book, because the Lamb was opening it. In other words, that's what he was saying. There's a fourth mystery here. I've showed you in symbols. Remember, John saw to write down what he saw, not to interpret, write down what he saw.
Right.
Now, John, I don't know whether you understood it or not, but he wrote down what he saw. But it was a mystery, so he wrote what he saw. The Lamb was the one breaking the seal.
Right.
John didn't break the seal.
Right.
The Lamb broke the seal. And God still wasn't going to reveal it. It was left for the last days.
Right.
If this ain't the last days, I'll promise you, it's later than we think.
Right.
Now, we had symbols, and we probed at it and done very good sometimes. God ain't a sometimes God.
Right.
God ain't a sometimes I'm going to be right and sometimes I'm going to be wrong. He's an all-time right God.
Amen.
But we know it's moved right on. But now in the last days, we can look back and see where it has been and that it's supposed to be done that at the end of the church age, just before the rapture. Now, if we're not at that point, then we're in the wrong church.
Right.
We took the wrong address today. Now notice, none of the other horses or no time that this rider ever rode, that man that had a name, had no name, but now he's called death. It's not mentioned. He's revealed now what he is. He's got a name. His name is death.
Yeah.
So now, how would you linger on, we can linger on that with a sermon, make it real. Let's go on down. And that proves that the Holy Spirit's revelation of this in this day is exactly the truth. The anti, he's death because the word, as we'll see later on, is life. And this man is called death. Now watch what he said. Not under the revelation of the lion age. Now remember, he was death in that first church age.
Yeah. Right.
White horse rider went conquering to conquer, right? But he didn't have a name. The first early age, that wasn't revealed. The next age was the age of the ox, which is the dark age, the middle age. It wasn't revealed as what it was. nor the man-like beast of wisdom, which is right under 5 and 6, which is your black horse, which is the combat beast of man. But in the eagle age, knowing the man-like wisdom representing the reformers, Luther and Wesley, it wasn't revealed. But in the eagle age, the last age, the prophetic age, where there is to rise prophetic utterance, see, to whom the secrets always come. He said, that's the trouble today. Some of us don't get pressurized. We explode too quick when we're jumping, but we got to be pressurized. When you get up here and have the keen sight of the eagle to see what's coming and know what to do. Now, the eagle age revealed it. So this is the age of revelation. We know that. There's no other age left. This is the eagle anointing. And what does the eagle do? The eagle does what? The eagle flies higher, sees further. That's us. You say, oh, no, that's Brother Branham. Well, he went up there first. He was the first fruits, no doubt. But he just kept it to himself and went home? No, he was a conduit to get it to the rest of us. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, he's sounding now the mystery of God to be finished.
Amen.
You know, God called himself eagle. Did you know that? He called his prophets eagles. Now look down to the bottom. And then he's got a bunch of eaglets, eaglets like Messiah's eaglets. Who's he talking about? Talking about us. And we, his little eaglets. Because Brother Brown tells us, remember, he said, we are a prophetic group of people. So we have prophetic insight. We are able to see more than others have ever seen before. The prophet of God got the door open, folks. The seals broke under his ministry. But what were they for? To perfect you and I.
Amen.
Not to perfect him. He was a conduit. God used him.
Right.
Just like he uses man today.
Right.
But it's all God.
Amen.
He knows what we need.
Right.
He knows what we don't need.
Right.
He knows we need to go to bed before y'all went to bed last night. Our sister, she's very truthful. She said, amen. So now look, we'll stop right here. This is it. We'll get on this fourth seal, the meat of it, in a little bit. Now watch what Brother Brown breaks it down on the fourth seal. He says, watch the four-point scheme. Antichrist, white horse, kills by spirit, being Antichrist, spiritual kill. All right, number two, red horse, kills by sword, political power when church and state unite. Black horse, souls when he give out his doctrine, and she did there with her fornication and weighed out the food, sold what they give for food for balance and the pennies and so forth. Now, the fourth one was the pale horse. Now, what is pale? Pale is a mixed colored horse.
Right.
It's a putrid color. It's all everything, and that's what we're going to look at when we start on the fourth seal. We'll start on Wednesday night to get right in the meat of it. Everything you see has been mixed together.
Right.
Even now, denominations are not even mixed anymore. I mean, they're mixed. They've come together.
Yeah.
Baptists will preach for Methodists, and Methodists will preach for Pentecost, and Pentecost will preach for this one will preach for that one. They don't ask us to preach for them, but that's okay with me. I don't care. So the fourth seal is a pale horse, eternal separation from God. If you miss the rapture, you got to go to the white throne judgment. Plain as day. You got to go through the tribulation period. Plain as day. So I told him, Brother Gibson, I said, I faced two things God showed me in this message. Was that I don't have to go through the tribulation period and I don't have to stand before the white throne judgment. Because every denomination outside of this room believes you got to go through tribulation. They believe you got to stand before the white throne. Thank God, God sent us a prophet to at least tell us those two things. He told us a lot more, but those two things ought to make you so happy. It'll make you so happy that you don't have to go through. You pass from death unto life. You know, when somebody looks at you and says, we all got to stand before judgment. Yeah, there's a little minor judgment that we got to stand before, but not the white throne judgment. Not whether I'm saved or lost or have eternal life or don't have eternal life. Folks, that's settled right here.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you can change your position of heaven or hell.
Right. Amen.
I still believe in salvation. I still believe in a new birth. But I don't believe in sitting down after the new birth and dying.
Right. Amen.
I believe in moving forward.
Yes.
Get the baby here. Amen.
Amen.
But let's feed that baby. Because that baby wants to grow.
Amen.
My kids were cute when they were little.
Amen.
But I didn't want them to stay that way. I wanted them to grow up. Because that's the natural thing to do.
Right.
Same way in the spiritual form. I want spiritual kids. You got to start a kid. You can't start an adult. Sometimes I wish, Sister Julie, we did start an adult, but you can't start an adult.
Right.
Right. We have to start as babies.
That's right. Amen.
Desiring the sincere milk of the word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just coming to church and shouting and speaking in tongues and all that. I mean, that's all good, well, and we do it here. I hadn't spoken in tongues, I don't think, for a long, long time. But that doesn't mean we're wrong. I'd rather somebody walk out that door and say, like that sister did yesterday. She said, you know, I've been in the message for 60 years. And she said, I just thought we was going in a rapture. I said, well, we are. But this message is not a rapture message.
Right. Exactly right.
Amen.
This message is a resurrection message.
Yes.
That will cause a rapture to happen.
Right.
Amen.
It will be what we do that affects. Listen, God don't have a calendar. It's got an X on it. Says I'm coming back that day right there.
Right.
Now he knows what that day is,
because
he's all knowing. But it's when a bride gets ready,
yes.
When she comes to a place that death is destroyed. Come on, musician, where death is destroyed. When you come to that place, you have come to the place that the dead saints are going to come here. And listen, there's still going to be 30 to 40 days. Before this rapture takes place.
Right.
We're going to bring them here and we're still going to be in our sinful bodies.
Yep.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Let's stand. We're still, that's what the mystery is. The mystery is God's going to do it in your flesh.
Right.
God's going to do it in my flesh. He's going to destroy death while you're still getting older. Didn't do anything to Abraham, did it? Abraham was 99 years old, and he said, go have a baby tomorrow. He turned 99 in one day, go have a baby tomorrow. 99 in 2 days, go have a baby tomorrow.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
He was old and well stricken in age, the Bible says. Something happened. He took a body change. Because God told him, you're going to have this child with Sarah. We in the end time have to have that same faith. We are the faith seed of Abraham.
That's right.
We're not here by chance. You're not here by chance. You and I have decided to follow on with God, not just sit down in a message church and die.
Amen.
Food. You're going to go home today and you're going to eat because your body needs food.
Right?
Well, your spiritual body needed food this morning, and I hope you got at least a few morsels and a couple of bites that'll get you into your next day.
Amen?
Amen? I believe so. I believe we're marching to Zion. We're on our way.
Amen.
It won't be long. We're only just a couple of turns of the clock till this thing's going to end up. But it's going to only end up when the bride's ready. He's not coming till we're ready. Why would God do that?
Right.
Well, my kids are not ready. I think I'm coming anyway. No, God stood there one day and he looked at all the people on the earth and he looked at Noah and he said, they ain't another person going to believe him.
That's right.
I don't believe Noah, and we know Noah did not shut that door.
Nope.
I believe Noah was getting up on Sunday morning, getting ready to go to church to preach his 121st year of it's going to rain. And God said, no, not today. Today, you're going to go get in that ark. And I'm going to shut the door. And that's what's going to happen now, folks. I'm telling you, he's going to come as a thief in the night. We know that.
Amen. That's right.
But the ones that were ready, that heard the bridegroom call, which I believe the opening of the seals is the bridegroom's call.
Amen.
To call us what? Back to not just repentance, but back to full restoration.
Amen.
Full restoration.
Amen.
Aren't you? That's what I want.
Right.
Full restoration. To know what to do with God's word. You don't have to have me. Quit looking for me. Look for God.
Amen.
I'm just here to guide the sheep.
Amen.
I don't make sheep. God makes sheep.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Just here to help you realize where you are. And if you realize you're not where you're supposed to be, there's something you can do about it.
Right.
If you realize you are and you're heading forward and God's doing a work in your life, well, God bless you. Just keep coming to church. Keep believing the message of the hour. Keep praying, reading your Bible, study for yourself. It makes my job a whole lot easier.
Amen.
If you'll study a little bit yourself.
Amen.
Amen. You love the Lord?
Yes.
Then you gotta love me because he's in me too.
Yes.
Let's sing a song.
Jesus King.
bless you this morning. It was wonderful. Did you enjoy it? Amen. All hearts and minds clear this morning. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the word we've heard, Lord. Lord, we just want to draw closer to you. Father, we see the word coming forth. Lord, we realize that, Lord, the devil is attacked in all manners. Lord, he wants us to be confused and not understanding the truth. But Lord, you said you sent your word to us, Lord, and give us eye salve of the word, Lord, that we can see the truth. Blessed are our eyes, Lord, that we can see that what you've done for us in this day, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that this word finds a resting place. Lord, it takes hold in our lives, Lord, to change us. Lord, not to be the same person that we were before, Lord, but to grow in you, Lord, and change every single day. Father, I pray that you be with the people as we leave today, Father, where they go. Lord, just be with them. Bless the week. Everything that we do, Lord Jesus, Lord, let us always be mindful of you. And we just pray that you just bless our pastor, Lord. Just continue to strengthen him, Lord. Lead him. And Lord, for each one that's here, the ones that are not here, Father, you know, the ones that are sick and afflicted, Lord, there's many that have needs, the ones that are not here with us. Pray that you just be with them. We just look forward to seeing you, meeting with you, and meeting with our brothers and sisters on Wednesday. And Lord, we just pray that you just watch over and keep us. We commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.